Welcome to Home But Not Alone with Tim and Sarah, where we talk about real life as a stay-at-home Catholic parent. If it's noon and you're still in your pajamas, have reheated your coffee 3 times and tried to pray but got distracted, this is the place for you. Life is crazy, but through it all, remember, you're never alone. You've got God's grace and our friendship coming your way. Today on Home But Not Alone, we're going to play a little game called Do You Live Under a Rock? And Tim is going to give us some pop culture references, and you can think of whether you know them or not, and I'm going to answer. He's going to test me and see whether I live under a rock, and hopefully at the end, Tim will be able to tell me whether I live under a rock or not, and maybe you can decipher whether or not you live under a rock too. Hey, Tim.
Hey, Sarah. How are you doing today?
Good. How about you?
You know, I'm good. I somebody else thought of this and I wrote it down, but I just want everybody to know out there that my partner in crime, Sarah here, knows so little about pop culture. She thinks pop culture is a carbonated beverage. There you go. That's a terrible joke, and you're all welcome for that.
That's a good joke.
I'm a dad.
Amy. So you know Amy Brooks from Prayer Wine Chocolate?
Oh, sure. She's wonderful.
She's amazing. She says that sometimes people tell her that she lives under a rock, and she responds with, "Oh no, you should see my friend Sarah."
Well, then let's get right to it. Let's see whether or not you live under a rock. So here's a first question for you, Sarah. What is the first rule of Fight Club?
Fight Club?
Okay. Fight Club. What is the first rule of Fight Club?
Okay, so it has rules. So, like, is this like a thing that people do?
Well, if I tell you too much, then.
Okay, the first, can I just make it up? Because I don't know what a Fight Club is.
Of course you can.
Okay, so the first rule of a Fight Club is. I don't even know what to say. Don't hit below the belt.
I got a little clip. Let's see if, let's see. Gentlemen. Fight
Club. First rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club.
Oh, is this a movie?
Fight Club. Yep.
You do not talk about Fight Club.
So
I think my brother says that.
That would make sense. It's a very, very popular phrase. So Fight Club is a film, a movie from 1999.
We're talking about fighting rules.
Nope. It's a very, very popular movie from 1995 starring Brad Pitt and Edward Norton. And it was based on a 1996 novel of the same name. But it's actually a thing that addresses issues of mental health. And all kinds of it's a kind of disturbing R-rated movie, but it's about people who get together, and as a way of breaking away from their normal lives, it's men who beat each other up, and then it turns into a whole other story as it goes along. But first rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club.
So it's like a secret society or something.
Exactly. It is a secret organization, and I don't know.
I don't think I would like that movie.
No, I don't think you would like that movie at all. But it's a very well-known phrase. As you say, who'd you say your brother?
I think my brother says that. Yeah. Don't, now that you mention it, but like, it doesn't mean anything to me.
Well, now it means just a little bit more, not much more, but just a little bit more. All right. Let's jump to another one.
Okay.
Name 3 Jeff Goldblum movies.
I don't know who that is. I was hoping you were going to say name 3 of the Ninja Turtles, because I could name all 4 of them.
Well, name the 4 Ninja Turtles. I want to hear you do that.
Okay, so there's Leonardo, Raphael, Donatello, and Michelangelo. Boom! But okay, I don't even know that name you said, so.
What are their weapons? What are the 4 weapons?
Oh, shoot. I don't know their weapons. There's the guy that has the stick.
It's Donatello.
Okay, and then the guy that has those things with the 3 points.
That's Raphael.
And then somebody has like nunchucks or something?
That would be Michelangelo.
And then maybe swords.
Leonardo. That was very good. That was impressive. Jeff Goldblum, he's an actor, and I looked up some specifics about him. He's an actor credited in 57 films plus dozens of TV appearances.
That's a lot of films.
Yeah. In those 57 films, they have grossed $7.3 billion worldwide over his career, ranking him as the number 120th most financially successful actor in history. In terms of
okay, well, movies. I don't usually know actors' names, but would I know any of the movies that he's in, maybe?
I would think you'd know at least a little bit. He became well-known in the 80s and 90s for movies like The Fly, Independence Day, and the first two Jurassic Park movies.
Okay.
So, did you ever see
Jurassic Park? I've seen Jurassic Park, but
he's Dr. Ian Malcolm, the guy with glasses.
Oh, no. I saw it too long ago. I don't even remember who that is.
Black curly hair. It doesn't matter. He's very good in that. And then more recently, he's come back in Independence Day sequels.
Oh, I heard they've done that again.
Yeah. Well, I didn't even see it because it was supposed to be so terrible. He was in the most recent Jurassic World movies. And he was in Thor Ragnarok, a superhero movie in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So he's a pretty big actor. Pretty big. Yeah. Okay. Here's another one. In the world of fiction, who eats second breakfast?
Oh, hobbits. I know that.
Yeah, very good. That one you did know.
Yeah, give me more nerdy ones. What about second breakfast?
Oh, gosh.
I don't think he knows about second breakfast.
Oh, about second breakfast. Everybody, all my kids must be hobbits. Okay. This is one of the most well-known things of all time in popular culture.
Okay, I'm going to nail it.
Yeah. Who is Luke Skywalker's father?
Darth Vader.
That is correct. Now,
okay.
Do you know Darth Vader's real name?
Shoot. I saw that one. That's like the number one, right?
Well, that they introduce him in episode one.
Anakin.
Anakin Skywalker. Okay. I honestly didn't think you'd get that one.
I got it. I saw that one and then I stopped watching them, the Star Wars movies, after that. So if you ask me anything from any of the rest of them, I don't know.
Wait a minute. You saw what? You saw.
So I saw the three old ones.
Okay.
Right? And then when that first new one came out.
Oh.
When he's like a little kid or something.
Oh, I'm so sorry. That was the last thing you ever saw for Star Wars? That's depressing.
Well, it was stupid, so I didn't want to watch them anymore.
That is considered by most to be the worst by far of anything they've ever made Star Wars, except for the Star Wars Christmas special in the late 70s, which they pretend didn't happen because
I've never heard of a Star Wars Christmas special.
Dude, there's a good reason you've never heard of it. It's because it was absolute garbage, and I can't believe it didn't kill the franchise. It's a TV, just a bunch of nonsense. But let's see. Okay. This is a very popular one these days.
Okay.
On what sitcom were Jim Halpert and Dwight Schrute rivals?
The Office.
I didn't think you'd
get ding, that ding, one. Ding, ding, ding.
That was good. Yeah, The Office.
I watched The Office with my brother in like, when was that on? When we were in college or something?
You know what? It's making a comeback now. It's like on its second leg of popularity. In fact, two of the actresses, and I'm totally blanking on their names right now, but I can see their faces. They just started a podcast or a YouTube channel or something where they rewatch the episodes and comment on them. So they're going through all the episodes. So The Office is already having a second life, which is impressive.
I stopped watching it when they started changing up all the people.
Yeah, that got weird. But okay, well, you want to go nerdy? This is nerdy, geeky, and all of the above. What planet is Superman from?
Oh, shoot! So he's from that planet with that stuff that kills him.
That is correct.
Kryptonite? Is that the name of the planet or the name of the stuff that kills him?
That is the name of the stuff that kills him.
Okay. Krypton? Is it just Krypton or something?
It is.
That's the name. Okay.
It's Krypton.
Okay.
Which, not so interesting story. When I was in like seventh or eighth grade, we had to pick a thing on the periodic table to make into a model, and everybody wanted like the lowest number of electrons so they could do the least amount of work. I was like, I want the one that's named after Superman's home planet, and nobody else wanted that. They were like, you're a fool. Why are you
making more? There's an actual element that's named that?
Well, there's something like that. What is it?
Well, I have a question though. How could he be from a planet if it kills him?
Okay, so the planet, because of different ways they developed it and such, they developed their society, it became unstable and it was getting ready to explode. And so essentially the explosion of his planet made it radioactive in a way that weakens him. And it weakens him because he grew up under a red sun. And then he came here to the yellow sun. And the yellow sun has so much more strength. And so it gave him more power. So that's why he became Superman. And also,
so he wasn't super before he came here.
Not until he got here.
No, that's funny.
The strength of the yellow sun.
That must have been surprising for him.
You know, it was. It was very surprising for him, especially since it seemed to strike him right around the time of puberty, which puberty is confusing enough as it is. But I can't even imagine.
This is a funny story. This is a really good storyline.
It's, yeah, you know what? It was, I wish I could take credit for it. Superman was created by these two guys, writer Jerry Siegel and artist Joe Shuster. And he first appeared in Action Comics number 1, a comic book published April 18th, 1938. And a lot of people don't realize this. Superman is essentially a metaphor for being Jewish in America at the time.
They make
fun of Superman. People do all the time, and they're like, oh, he just takes his glasses off and people don't know, or he puts on glasses and people don't know he's Superman. That was a metaphor for being Jewish, because if you were black or Asian or any number of non-white ethnicities at the time, it was very obvious that you were different. But if you were Jewish, you could fit in with white mainstream 1920s, 1930s culture, as long as you were educated and successful and capable of doing different things. So literally the idea of putting on glasses was, Well, he's an educated man who therefore can blend in with everybody around him. Now he just looks like everybody else. And so he's successful. Huh. So it really was, it was a commentary on social justice issues of the day. A lot of comics are like that. X-Men, for example, X-Men started off as a commentary on like social justice issues of the 1960s regarding racial issues, and even eventually emerged to address issues of the Holocaust. Mm. So, yeah,
I saw those movies like a long time ago.
I love those movies.
Yeah. I haven't ever read any of the comics, but I think I saw those movies.
The movies, about 50% of them are phenomenal. But okay, let's move on to another one.
Okay.
Which musical artist is known to many as the Queen Bee?
Queen Bee?
Yep.
I don't know. I'll just guess. How about Beyonce? Because that starts with B.
Very good and correct guess.
Oh!
I'm impressed you got that. But that is, like, a lot of people will talk about how we don't need the royal family in the United States because we have our own queen, the Queen Bee. But I looked this up.
Why did they call her that?
Yeah, I didn't know this about her. So obviously she's one of the best-selling musical artists of all time, but she's sold over 100 million records worldwide as a solo artist, an additional 60 million with her previous group. Do you know who she used to sing with?
No.
Destiny's Child. That was, do you remember them from the 90s?
No.
Okay. there's a pop culture reference. And in 2014, she became the highest paid black musician in history. Forbes ranked her as the most powerful female in entertainment on both their 2015 and 2017 lists. Huh. And in 2016, she occupied the sixth place for Time's Person of the Year award. So, not an insignificant figure in popular culture.
I don't think that I would really know much about her if it wasn't for that video where the guys put on the tights and do that dance that she does. Do you know that video?
I don't know the video. I have no idea. And I'm very glad I don't know that video.
Yeah. It's that's that dance that I don't know. Don't look
the,
it up.
The single ladies dance?
Yes, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. They're like making fun of it.
Well, I
don't know. She's in the video, I guess. I don't really know.
Oh gosh. That's I'm glad I've never seen that. That is a whole other I don't even know what to do with that information.
Sorry for that.
I wrote an article one time about dating, young adult dating in the 21st century, some of the challenges. And I included a reference to the song Single Ladies and how like, you go to a wedding and we'll play Single Ladies. And, you know, the guys didn't even go out. It's like, hey, guys, go ask those girls to dance. We literally played the song Single Ladies and said, hey, single women, get up here. We got them there for you. You don't have to guess who's single.
Right, right. Anyway. That's funny.
Oh, gosh. All right. Let's move on to another one. Which famous fictional character said, once you eliminate the impossible, whatever remains, no matter how improbable, must be the truth?
Okay. Once you eliminate the impossible, a fictional character. Okay. I have no clue.
I want to hear you guess something.
You want to hear me guess something?
Yes, I
do. Okay, so let me guess. Okay, so it's pop culture. Let's see. I can't even guess. Whatever remains must be true. Can you read it? Say it again. Say it again so I can think of something. And I'll tell you what pops into my head.
Once you eliminate the impossible, whatever remains, no matter how improbable, must be the truth.
Christopher Robin from Winnie the Pooh.
No, but that would be fun. That would be cool if he had said that. Sherlock Holmes. And yes, I count him as being a part of pop culture because they still make Sherlock Holmes movies and they had the Sherlock TV show up until
that was a good show. Did they say it in that show? Or like, where does he say that?
Well, he said it in the books and I think he said it in the show, but somebody is going to prove me wrong on that. It's one of these things that gets referenced in other shows and movies consistently. Oh. People will say it.
So, like, people know that he said it.
Yes.
Okay.
Not everybody, but it's...
Well, not me, so clearly not everybody.
But no, that's... that line is largely the basis for the TV show House. Have you ever seen House?
I don't know.
Don't watch it.
Is it about, like, flipping houses or something?
Nope, it's about a doctor. That just happens to be his last name. And
that's stupid.
I wouldn't have called it that, but he's constantly like guessing obscure diagnoses, and it's supposed to be a medical Sherlock Holmes.
Okay.
Essentially. So something that is internet viral. What sketch show saw a substitute teacher butcher students' names by saying things like Aaron, D. Nice, and Balake?
So this is a video that went viral on the internet?
From a sketch show. It was on a TV sketch show.
So what am I guessing? Am I guessing the show or I'm guessing the internet?
Guessing the show.
There were a lot of different things you were saying, so I wasn't sure what I was guessing. I don't know. Saturday Night Live.
No, Key and Peele, the show with Jordan Peele and Keegan-Michael Key, which ran for a few years and highlighted a lot of things like racial issues. And
I've never heard of this.
Oh, this was a very...
Are you sure this is pop culture? I think that this is something obscure that you just pulled up to make
I promise
get
you, if you walk up to most people named Aaron and say, what's up, Aaron? They will know exactly what you're talking about.
Well, I'm going to say that. I know someone named Aaron, so I'm going to say that next time I see him.
This is so popular. This was like huge a few years ago. Everybody was sending it around and watching it. It's about an African-American teacher who spent years in the inner city and then comes into an all-white school and butchers the names of the students because, you know, it's essentially highlighting the differences in how people spell and pronounce their names based on their cultural background. Hmm. And the teacher doesn't, you know, he gets very upset with them saying that they're messing with him about the spelling of the name, because this is, or the pronunciation, because
right,
that's not how you, you know, spell names based on where he's from. So right. it was very popular.
I mean, okay. I sympathize with that because I taught in high school for a few years and sometimes the names are like really difficult.
Sure, like Aaron. It's a very difficult name.
So difficult. <No. laughs> Okay, what do you got next?
Speaking of sketch shows, which SNL actor?
So does SNL mean Saturday Night Live? Because that's the only, I don't think I've ever seen it, but I guessed it.
It does. It does.
Okay, so I have to guess an actor. All right, so which actor did what?
Played Matt Foley, motivational speaker, often talked about living in a van down by the river.
Oh, shoot. I feel like I've heard my brother quote that, too. I don't know.
Let me give you a little audio clip.
Probably told you my name is Matt Foley and I am a motivational speaker. Now let's get started by letting me give you a little bit of a scenario of what my life is all about.
I don't have any idea who this is.
35 years old.
This is the late great Chris Farley.
In a van down by the river.
I have no clue. That name doesn't even sound familiar to me.
Oh, Chris Farley doesn't mean anything to you? He was one of the comedy greats in the 90s until 1997. He died of a drug overdose. Very tragically. His rise to fame was huge. He was in movies like Tommy Boy with David Spade. What else did he do? I mean, he was one of the biggest stars in the world. And he honestly just couldn't handle it, but he was so funny. And this, Matt Foley, motivational speakers, like anytime they did that sketch, everybody else is just busting up laughing because it's hilarious. The visual gags, it's fantastic.
Yeah, I got nothing.
To this day, because I live relatively close to a river and I own a minivan. So like I got a card from my sister for my birthday. And the card itself said, I'm hoping on your birthday, you're not living in a van down by the river. And then my sister wrote in the card, well, you have a van and you live by a river, but you don't live in it. So happy birthday.
Birthday.
It's a common enough thing that they make birthday cards with the saying on it, apparently.
Okay.
So let's see.
I wouldn't understand that birthday card. Do you have any more or is that it?
I've been going out of order.
Oh, come on.
I wanted to jump around there, but let's see. Can you, in under 20 seconds, name 5 Disney princesses?
Oh, Rapunzel, Snow White, Cinderella. Who's the lady in Beauty and the Beast? What's her name? Beauty? Belle? Sleeping Beauty. Aurora.
Okay, that's good. There's a lot of them.
How many seconds was that, though?
Did you count? I lost count. I was trying to count, but that was definitely that was within time. So I'll give it to you. All right. I'm going to give you a line. You name a movie real quick.
Okay.
Here's Johnny.
I don't know.
The Shining. One of the.
No, that's a scary movie. Is that a scary movie?
That is a scary movie. I won't watch it. But
no, I don't know what that. No, I haven't seen it. I don't like scary movies.
Let's try this one. Nobody puts baby in a corner.
I don't know.
That would be Dirty Dancing.
Nope, haven't seen it.
You Can't Handle the Truth.
I have no clue.
A Few Good Men.
Nope, haven't seen it. Haven't even heard of it.
All right, how about this one? Bueller, Bueller, Bueller.
Shoot, that's, I don't know, Forrest Gump?
Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I I think we've officially established.
Did I win?
You live under a rock. I'm not sure who won.
Did you count them? Did you keep score? What happened?
No, I didn't keep score.
Did I keep score? Come on, man.
Well, you got a few right. You got most of them wrong. Let's be honest.
I definitely live under a rock.
That's, you know what? That's okay. And I think a lot of us tend to live under rocks, especially when we have little kids. Especially when we have kids.
You had given me any of those quotes from like Disney movies or I don't know, Pixar movies, I probably could have nailed it.
Yep. That's why I avoided them for the most part. I wanted to stick with things that
you gave me a freebie on that princess one though.
Yes.
So thank you.
You're very welcome. And you know what? I was impressed. You got a few by guessing with the Queen Bee for Beyonce and
I don't know anyone else who starts with B, so.
No, that's true. That's true. Well, that also shows you how big of a deal, how popular she is. That's true. You know who Beyonce
even me,
is.
Even me, from under my rock have heard of Beyonce.
You and I was watching an interview with former President George Bush on Jimmy Kimmel one time, and Jimmy was asking him, have you heard of this person? Have you heard of this? And George was like, no. He said, well, have you heard of Beyonce? And George goes, of course, she's from Houston. And I was like, okay, so he knows Beyonce, you know Beyonce. So even everybody knows Beyonce, apparently.
Apparently.
Even the people who live under the most deep under the rocks. But
I hope our listeners comment to tell us how many they got right and how many they got wrong and whether they live under rocks too.
I would be very curious because these are the types of things that I know an absurd amount of this stuff, and it's such a waste of my brain space. But I remember being in college, and I was taking a class that we had to talk about the 80s. And I said something to my mom. I was like, hey, do you remember, you know, when this happened in 1980, whatever, second half of the 80s? She looked at me and said, no, I had children in the 80s. Like, that's what I did. Like, I have no idea what – she doesn't know what happened politically, entertainment-wise, anything, because she was so busy with us. And that now finally makes a lot more sense.
So I wonder if these things you're saying, like all these things you brought up, I wonder if they're not really pop culture right now because now you have kids.
You know what? I was joking around with someone recently because I don't know music groups and I'm a dad. So I believe at this point in my life, I'm supposed to think all music groups are the Beatles. And so when people go, oh yeah, the new song, I'm like, yeah, by the Beatles. And they're looking at me like, what are you talking about? And only about half of them get the joke that I'm pretending.
Right, well, right.
I'm not really pretending. I don't know. So I'm falling back on the cliche.
Right.
But no, I think some of these, I mean, the Star Wars reference, there's a new Star Wars movie coming out later this month or next, whatever, whenever we're recording this. Yeah, later this month for when we're recording this. By the time this airs, it will have been out. So the... Yeah, I don't know. Maybe some of these have already passed, but Superman's pretty popular. There's always going to make a new Superman movie. Oh, gosh. Maybe some of these aren't anymore. But even just the fact that, like you said, the first rule of Fight Club, you've heard the phrase, don't talk about Fight Club.
I thought you were talking about like those fighting shows, like those clubs. Like, what are those shows where they fight each other?
I have absolutely no idea what you're talking about.
Like the fighting, the martial arts fighting shows.
Like, oh gosh, I know what you're talking
about.
What
are they? And they fight, and there's almost no rules, but there are like some rules. I thought you were talking about these actual like shows, like clubs where they fight.
No, I would, that makes sense. But I would think that the phrase don't talk about Fight Club is actually more popular than those actual shows. But that's me. That's just me guessing.
I don't know. I have no idea.
All right. Well, I'm not sure if you won or I lost, but maybe everybody lost. I'm not
really
sure.
Yeah, do you win or lose if you live under a rock? Because I think it's fine to live under a rock. I'm happy under my rock.
It can be really nice. It shelters you. It shelters you from a lot of nonsense. So... Well, I want to thank everybody for listening today. Join us next time when we talk about escapism. And if you can, become a supporter of ours. Subscribe, comment, share, like us on social media, whatever you can do. Sarah, where can people find you?
ToJesusAndSurly.com and at ToJesusAndSurly on Facebook and Instagram.
And you can find me at ChastedLove.org or at TheChastedLove on any of the social medias. And yes, Facebook does count as a social life. Remember, you're never alone.